You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
There's nothing like summer in the city. Someone under stress meets someone looking pretty. There's trouble in the air, you can smell it. And Alexander's by himself. I'll let him tell it.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham, an American musical podcast. I'm your host this week, David J. Lohr. And with me are Tara Anderson.
Hello.
Hello there. And Sophie Brookover.
Hi.
Hello there. And Christina Grace.
Hey.
Hi there. And this week we're talking about the slow jam to end all slow jams, Say No to This. So this is a song with a lot of exposition. It is kind of a big plot point. Would anyone like to tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Well, it's when Hamilton goes off the rails and lets a lady with red lipstick take him away from all of his work in a way that his wife couldn't. Mm.
Well, he's alone in the city. Everyone is off at the summer house, and he's missing his wife, and he's missing Angelica.
Mm-hmm.
And then a young woman named Maria Reynolds shows up.
And she, you know, her intentions are not clear from the beginning. She's asking for help. She says that her husband is abusive and she needs money because he's left her. And, you know, Hamilton, he's such a softy. Can't say no to anybody, I guess. So he
apparently
can't say no to her, right?
Especially not a lady.
Yes.
Especially not a lady.
Yes.
Ladies in distress, that's, you know, I feel like she did her homework.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And I don't know if others of you have seen the show. I have, and I remember it just being kind of a stunning moment when the actress formerly known as Peggy comes on and she is transformed. Not in any hugely physical way, except for that red lipstick. Her hair is a little bigger, but her body language and her voice are completely different. And then I understood, oh, that's why this actress is in the show.
Well, and it's brilliant double casting because of he's already attracted to two of the Schuyler sisters. And here's someone who happens to look a lot like Aunt Peggy.
Yeah.
How
about that?
Just round it out, make it an even three.
Why not?
I mean,
get the full set.
He's got a type.
Let's collect them all.
We'll say that. You got to catch them all.
Got to catch them all.
That's interesting. I always thought in listening to the song that I was like, oh, she came out to get some sex from Hamilton. Yes, she has this whole, you know, my husband's doing me wrong thing. But I always just assumed her ulterior motive was to indeed take him to bed and let those legs spread as she not at all subtly sings.
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny. You kind of can't tell. She says she needs money and then she wants to thank him. And then when her husband appears to ask for more money, Hamilton seems not only, you know, panicked about the whole situation, but also, you know, did he think, like, he's insulted because he thought this woman really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so his feelings are hurt, too.
Definitely. Well, and also, I think he's used to being so competent in political situations, like, almost immediately before this, he's besting, or almost besting, Jefferson in a rap battle, and I think he really prides himself on being the cleverest. But here's a situation where he is the dumbest. I was texting with Christina earlier and I said, gosh, he is such a sex idiot. Just the biggest dummy.
I know. And you know, you're just shaking your head like you don't want to generalize about men. Right? I don't, at least. But it was like, Hamilton's a dude. Here it is. You know, like, no offense, David.
No argument here. My God. I mean, they're reliable with the ladies. Yes, that's
way to put it.
He was a tomcat before, and he's been good all this time.
So difficult.
Oh,
good. I think good is kind of. He's written a lot of letters to Angelica.
Yeah. Doing his best.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. He's doing what he can.
Yeah. I was listening to, I was listening to the song a bunch today in preparation, just re-listening. And then right before we hopped on this call, I re-listened to the LL Cool J song, I Need Love.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of this song. Just quote
sure
that.
Is. Perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And what's so sad to me about the contrast between the two songs is that LL Cool J is talking about, you know, oh, like I've really seen the light. I want like a real relationship. You know, I don't want to mess around anymore. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to mess this up. And this song is just like this slow decline. You know, it's really the song that he should have been singing to Eliza.
Mm. Right.
You know, and instead... Right.
I have a friend who refuses to listen to this song because they find it too frustrating.
Wow.
No, I can't listen to it. He's making all the wrong choices. We all know what he should be doing. I can't listen to the ensemble. Be like, no, leave. They skip it every single time. Like, nope, can't do it.
And I can completely understand that. And I also feel really sorry for your friend who is missing out on the glorious singing.
Make them listen to it every single time. I'm like, We have to be listening to Jasmine right now.
That's
you
it.
Have you heard an alto like this? You haven't.
Oh my God! I mean, just the control and the feeling. I make everybody listen to this song, except for my 8-year-old daughter, who loves Hamilton and has never heard this one. I know, because then there'd be a lot of questions, and you know, I just can't.
What did
there were
do?
Many questions.
We just skip it. And she says, what's it about? And I said, it's about when Hamilton did something wrong. Well, what did he do? He did something that hurt his wife's feelings a lot. She's more of like, she's more into act one, I gotta say. Because we also skip the bits where Philip dies and then she doesn't want to hear the end in the duel. She's 8.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. My daughter's 10. And she doesn't like to listen to season act two either for the same reason.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I am 27 and I stop it after, you know, blow them all away sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this is when this show ends. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the happy version of Hamilton.
Exactly.
So I always skip this one when I'm listening in the car with my daughter. But, you know, when we're ready to talk about the content, I want her to hear this singing because that is a voice. I mean, she just kills me every time.
Yeah. I'm very ready for a Jasmine Cephas Jones solo album.
Yes.
Mm. Very ready.
Oh, I'm going to have to quit my job.
Yeah.
I'm taking a sabbatical. Sorry, guys. I just listened to this album. That's all I do.
Is she still on the show?
Yes. She and Anthony are both still in the show.
Okay.
All right. I'll be curious to see what she does.
Definitely. I'm sure it will be wonderful, whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be perfect.
I love this little quote. I'm looking at the Hamilton book now. And this quote here where Hamilton describes the moment where he understands what this encounter really is. Some conversation ensued from which it was quickly apparent that other than pecuniary consolation would be acceptable. I mean, that's a long way of saying she wanted me to sleep with her.
It's a very Hamilton-y way.
It sure is.
He wrote the other 51 sentences. It's
Bless him.
Yes. A plus.
I know. It just cracks me up every time.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I like in the song itself is how it kind of breaks down his language skills a little bit. He's not using longer words and longer sentences, and this has him rattled, which is kind of interesting.
And I think, I love Lynn, but as a singer, he's nothing compared to Jasmine.
Yeah.
But I think he does a lot with what he has in this song. Yeah. And I think it, particularly in terms of delivery, like at the beginning of the song and when he's feeling very sure of himself, he's so staccato and precise and really just like hitting every syllable. And when Mariah has him, rattled and feeling away, he sort of slides around vocally. And then at the end, just the sound of crushing defeat. Like he knows that he's been bested and he's screwed up so massively, and he knows he's going to pay for it eventually, but he keeps playing, himself, but the game.
Right.
As long as he possibly can. It's painful. It conjures so perfectly the way that Chernow writes about it in his big biography, which is like you can see him sitting at his desk, clutching his head and rubbing his temples, just sort of like rocking back and forth and saying, "Bro, don't do this. don't do this, man. Like, why are you doing this?" And I think it's hard from our vantage point to understand. I guess it's not that hard to understand sexual compulsion like that, but like,
no, I've seen Jasmine. I get it.
Yeah. America understands.
Right. We would all be right there with them. It's
sure would. Only human.
Yep.
Well, I mean, especially at the end there, like you were saying, where he sort of realizes that he's going to pay for this. With the first time I listened to this through, I didn't have time to listen to both acts when it came in the mail, because I bought the CD. I wasn't going to do the digital thing. I wanted the booklet and everything, right?
Right.
And so I listened to Act Two while I'm mowing the lawn. I had to mow the lawn. It was going to rain. So, all right, I'm mowing the lawn. And I'm going along, and the neighbors are out, and they're all kind of walking around. And it gets to the very last line, and the violin kicks in, and it goes, "Nobody needs to know." And it's that...
You knew exactly where that was from.
I knew exactly where it was from. And I laughed out loud like a lunatic, and the neighbors were all like, "What? Why is he laughing? He's mowing. What is going on?"
They don't know you yet, do they?
Some of them still don't quite know. And it is the melodic line from a song in the last 5 years, which is about a couple who divorces. And it's that chromatic line from the violin that sort of sets that unsettling, this is going to come back. And that's a very common motif in music anyway. But it's just, it's beautiful how it works both in terms of this story and referring to that story. And it works in that story too. It does exactly the same thing. This is going to blow up.
I remember first listening to it and hearing that very clear reference to last 5 years and kind of just like dropping whatever I was holding and being like, "Lynn, how dare you?" Like, how dare you throw in a throwaway reference to last 5 years at the end of the song that has already fully gut-wrenched me, and then to just tee up just like also, do you remember last 5 years? Do you remember how much that hurt you on its first listen? Like, yes.
Yeah,
I do.
Let me twist that knife a little bit more.
It's very deep and it hurts.
It's a hell of a sucker punch at the end.
It's part of those little Easter eggs that he's left throughout the entire show for both Broadway people and for hip hop people. Mm-hmm. And I was just describing the show to somebody the other day who is a lifelong hip hop fan, not a Broadway person. And the thing that I kept saying was like, if you're a hip hop fan, you can find your way into this. If you're a Broadway fan, you can find your way into this. And it's so rare and amazing that these two things meet. And so that's another one of those, like, I'm not a hip hop person. I've learned a lot through this show, actually. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those things, like, the line may go past you, and if you don't know the reference, you don't get the deeper meaning of it, but it still works.
Right.
And right. In this case, that's another wink and nod to the Broadway peeps. And yeah, if you don't know the reference, the line is still fine. And if you do, it's agonizing.
Yeah, it's a question of like how deep that knife is going to cut. If you don't know the line, mm-hmm. it hurts. And you're like, mm-hmm. oof, you made a mistake. And if you know yeah. the line, you're like, oh boy, you made a real mistake.
Isn't it any time in a play or movie somebody goes, nobody needs to know. This is going to be just fine. It's all going to work out great. Like that's like a big spotlight pointing
in. No one knows about dramatic irony, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the first scene of All the President's Men, right? And everything was fine.
Yeah. We pulled it off. Everyone keeps secrets forever.
That's right.
Totally nailed it.
That's always how it works, guys.
And if anyone out there listening has not heard of The Last 5 Years, go listen to The Last 5 Years. Just, you know, brace yourself. About halfway through, you're going to want something to hug and hold on to for the rest of the musical. But it is wonderful and devastating and, yeah, and full of songs I like to sing, too. Go figure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's another one of those where I listened to that entirely too many times in the car with my first child when he was a baby. And after about a year of that, I realized I should stop because he was saying Shiksa Goddess in the back of the car.
And
I
went, no.
Oh, there are other things in there he shouldn't be saying.
Yeah, Shiksa Goddess is kind of the least of it. It could get worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you dodged a bullet.
Oh, there have been worse. But that was the moment. That was the first one where I went,
oh, there's still time to turn that ship around.
Yep.
Do it now.
For being such a an expositional pivotal moment, it's also a very simple lyric and simple melody mm-hmm. in its own way.
I'm noticing again the repeated calls back to helpless.
Yeah.
He says, "Don't leave me with him helpless," and Hamilton says, "I'm helpless." And
the situation's helpless.
The situation's helpless.
And that is extra painful. You know, calling back to his wife falling in love with him. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, and I mean, there are all kinds of little echoes throughout the rest of the show. You know, rhyming whore wife and your wife goes back to mm-hmm. poor wife and your wife. Mm-hmm. That would be enough. Took me a second. Which is with his wife. Is who he's rhyming that with, literally. So it is sort of like a funhouse mirror.
Yeah, yeah. There are little moments of humor within it. Mainly the unfinished couplet in the pockets of people like me down on their luck.
Right.
That was why you decided to. Because that's what we're all saying when we realize who's talking to him as well.
That was the point where my 14-year-old started laughing out loud.
Yep.
He was like, oh, man.
And then it's so great when they call that back. And then Jefferson does his classic, what?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's one of my favorite callback moments of the show. Like anytime you can get Jefferson to do one of those whats, it's always worth it.
Another one of those little subtle Easter eggs that's just sort of hidden in this. I don't know if you know this, but when Maria Reynolds divorced her husband, do you know who the lawyer was?
Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr.
That guy.
So once again, sort of unintentionally, he's there.
New York was just too lurking. Small of a town. Yeah.
They keep meeting.
Exactly. And it was, it was a small town. They keep saying it's the greatest city in the world, but like that's our 21st century perspective.
Right.
It was not like Philadelphia was a bigger city than New York.
The New York was.
Yeah.
At the time.
I will say I love in the Hamilton after the lyrics or the stage directions are just they kiss, it escalates.
Yes.
All right, then. Point taken.
And this is yet another one of those I was glad to have the CD booklet. I'm also glad that I had really good reading glasses because the printing in that is tiny. So glad that I have the Hamilton because this is another one of those songs where there are at least three columns of lyrics going on at the same time. And, trying to piece that together while you're reading it, and it's very difficult, but I'm still floored at how the whole thing works. It's just, all of these melodies. I'm sort of halfway convinced you could play all the songs together at the same time and they would still sound good.
they just sound like Hamlet.
Yeah. Yay, Hamlet.
Yay, Hamlet.
Well, what have we learned?
Listen to the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take a nap. Don't make decisions on insufficient sleep, because that way lies madness and possibly the dissolution of the Republic.
I also love that on one hand, I have to be thinking like, it would have been so much easier if you just gone upstate with your sister and your, wife's sister who you want to have sex with and had sex with her instead of having sex with this other woman.
Don't you think that would have been worse in the end?
Well, I think Angelica would not have told. I do think the whole thing was a setup from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a target, and also that Mariah Reynolds really liked him. Like, that she didn't want to like him, and she did.
Yeah, two things can be true.
Exactly. And, had he slept with Angelica, yes, that would have been like an even worse betrayal. But she wasn't looking for political or monetary advantage.
Right.
So, and since they were already that emotionally involved, they were already in a very gray area.
Yeah, Angelica really gets the slide on this because of the song.
Yeah.
And another thing that is kind of interesting as the song progresses, he keeps, I don't know how to say no to this, is almost like a mantra. It's not even that it's a repeated chorus line. It's he's trying to say no to this, and I don't know how to say no to this, and it keeps coming back until the very end of the song where he says, he keeps the same rhythm of it, but he goes, say no to this, I don't say no to this, and he leaves out the know how, and it's like, he's given in, he's done, he's made his choice.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really lovely, great example of how the lyrics just show the character very elegantly and simply without overwriting it the way Alexander was. Perhaps.
Definitely.
All right. Well, I think we have learned that
I think we nailed it, guys.
We couldn't say no to this either. I would like to thank our guests, Christina Grace and Sophie Brookover and Tara Anderson. I'm David J. Lohr, and we'll see you again on Pod for Ham.
Say no to this, I don't say no to this. There is nowhere I can go.
So?
Nobody needs to know.